If you do for whatever, you don't have the money or you don't have whatever, you want to come prepared, you want to get one of those ornaments, Brother Gene said, just go ahead and put the information in there and we'll get the, we'll worry about the money later. We know where y'all live at, or most of y'all, so we will come and get it with interest at later dates. That's no problem, but so don't. I finally went on the website yesterday, and because I know they've been recording the sermons for the last 5 or 6 weeks and putting them on there, and I clicked on one of them, very, very clear. It also gives the times, and I got looking and I thought, man, 51, 52 minutes and stuff. I preach that long? I don't know. I didn't think so, but I guess that's the song before and me running my mouth like I am right now. And probably the invitation too, or whatever, all added up. But surely, goodness, I don't preach that long, I don't think so. There must be some mistake there. But anyway, if you what is it? AGBC Beach Island? Is that it? And if you haven't been on the website, just gives a lot of information, history of the church, how it got started, and different things that you can calendar and all that on. Luke chapter 17, starting here this morning in verse number 11. If you'll look with me, verse number 11. The Bible says, and it come to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it come to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. There's a little phrase right there in verse number 16. It says, in giving him thanks. And I just want to take in just a moment this morning and preach on what I've entitled, Lessons from the Lepers. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, God, you'd bless now through the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. But give me Jesus.
Amen. Let's look at these lessons that we have. I'm going to give you three simple lessons that we can learn today from these lepers here in the Word of God. As we just read, there was 10 of them. It came to Jesus, and of course he took, and as they went their way, as they left, otherwise they done what they were told, which all through the Bible it's the same principle, and that is that obedience always leads to God's blessings. The reason why people don't get answer to prayer, the reason why, you know, the list goes on and on, is because we're not willing to be obedient. We're not willing to take and to follow him. But he said in verse number 14, go show yourself unto the priests. And of course, you can read in the Old Testament, Levitical law, that was one of the things after when they were placed in these leper colonies, whenever it came time for them to feel like that they could go back into society, they went, and it was the priest that had to check and to see if it was, and to okay it or not, whether they could do so. The first thing I want us to look at, number one this morning, and the first lesson that we can learn from their disease. You know, we've always taken, and down through the years, preachers and Sunday school teachers and people have wrote books on the subject of comparing leprosy to sin. And there is a lot of different ways, and we find that in the Bible, that no doubt was a picture of sin and so many different ways that you can compare the two. But the condition, first of all, that they had. Let's look at this leprosy for a moment. Just this past week in reading and studying a little bit about this terrible, terrible disease, we find that they say that there's over 200,000 new cases every year in America. So it's not just something, or every year in the world. It's not just something that was back in Bible days, but it's still something that is very prevalent around the world. Even to this day, over half of that 200,000 are actually in India itself. India has a bad, bad case of it. It is normally is because it shows up more in very poverty-stricken places than anywhere else. There is over 200 cases of it every year in the United States. For many, many years, it was always thought of as being highly contagious. As a matter of fact, in reading about it the other day, I couldn't help but to think there's probably been many times that I have maybe mentioned the subject in preaching and referred to it as being highly contagious and comparing it to sin and so forth. But they found out that within the last 20 or 30 years, that's not the case. It is contagious, but it's not as contagious as what they once thought. As a matter of fact, to take and to place them in these leper colonies and things, as they're finding out, is really quite unnecessary. And not only that, but they have different antibiotics and things now that thousands of cases of it are cured every single year. But I begin to think about some of the myths that goes along with it, that even in Bible days and even when they were told that they couldn't go, and if they seen somebody on the street, they didn't approach them, and they were to yell, unclean, unclean, otherwise don't get close to me, stay away from me, and they placed them in their own colonies and so forth, and it would begin. I watched a little video the other day, Brother John Nelms with the Final Frontiers, who actually I spoke to this past week, and he's setting up a trip now, and he's going to get back with me on some dates when we can take a missions trip to Honduras this coming summer. But he spends a lot of time in India, and he makes a little video. You can go on and search that, and he's always something new that he's putting out there for Final Frontiers, the ministry, what they call it. But and he's in countries all around the world. But they showed this leper who's actually a pastor, and all of his fingers are gone. His hands look like that, and it shows him in this video him turning the pages in his Bible and witnessing to people with no fingers because of leprosy. And he is actually a pastor to a huge leper colony there, because it is still believed there that it's highly contagious and so forth. And even Brother Nelms in that video mentions that it's not like they had once believed at all. So it's a terrible, terrible condition, no doubt. And it begins to eat away at the flesh, and it affects the flesh just like sin does. And these people, it'll eat away their fingers and their toes and their nose and their ears, and they just begin to kind of deteriorate. And that's what sin does. It always it affects the flesh first, and it begins to spread within the flesh. Not necessarily to somebody else. See, sin is not contagious. Just because you sin or just because I sin doesn't mean that you have to sin. You know, sure, it can make a difference and it can affect somebody else, no doubt about it. But I don't want to, I think that's a misconception that we've had in comparing sin to leprosy, is the fact that we use that almost as an excuse. Well, I grew up in this household and my dad was a drunk, and my mom was on drugs and such, and so that's why I've just followed suit, and that's why I live the life that I live now. I'm sure that did affect you, and I'm sure that was very, very difficult, but that still is not an excuse. That does not mean that it had to spread to you. You have your own will and your own choice, and through God's power and God's strength, you can get past that and over. So don't use somebody else's sin as an excuse to think that you have to go down that road also. That's not the case. And thank God also we do have a cure for sin. It's what Jesus Christ done. The curse that was placed on mankind in the garden, well, thank God we have a cure for it. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you don't have to continue therein. Even though some people believe that they can, and they believe even that because of the wonderful grace of God that the choir sang about just a little while ago, that just kind of makes everything okay. You know, we find where Paul mentions in the book of Romans there in chapter number 6. He says, what shall we continue? They ask a question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, we it does not give us a right. It does not give us a license to just live however we will. No, the truth of the matter is, it's because of the grace of God that we've been set free. Those chains are gone, and that we can now follow. It doesn't mean that because of grace, well, it really doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want to. The Lord still loves me. And because after all, I am under grace. I'm not under the law anyway. So I can just kind of do whatever I want to, and God will forgive me. Well, the truth of the matter is, you probably, if you got that attitude, you may not be saved to start with. And because he answered it very plainly there, how shall we continue in sin? You know, how shall we? Can it, you know, because grace abounds. Matter of fact, we find another great verse that he wrote that says, when sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Aren't you thankful for the wonderful grace of God that deals with that? Not a reason, not an excuse to continue there, but yet thank God for it. And so we see that we can learn from their disease, their condition, And then also we see their position. Look at what their position was. It tells us there that they were afar off. In verse number 12, as he entered into a certain, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, knowing that they had leprosy, knowing that they had, but of course the love that he, and by the way, isn't it amazing that the times in the New Testament where we find where Jesus met with lepers, he didn't have any problem approaching them. Maybe, just a thought now, but maybe because a couple thousand years ago, God knew that it wasn't as contagious as, and we're just now finding that out. After all, he's the Son of God. He knows absolutely everything. But that did not concern him whatsoever. By the way, he came to where I was one day. He didn't look upon me and look upon my sin and say, oh, you know, I can't help that guy. He's too wicked. He's too, you know, you want to live, you just go on and do your own thing. But no, he came to where I was. See, that's what salvation is. It's when I couldn't get to where he was, he came to where I was. One man put it very, very well in describing the difference between salvation and religion. He said, religion is man trying to get to God. Religion is man trying to do all these religious things and trying to reach up to God, and he just can't ever seem to get there. But salvation is God reaching down to man. And thank God for salvation. Otherwise, we'd all be in bad shape today, that's for sure. But the position that they had was far off. Just like sin, it'll separate us. You know, I think of in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59, those first few verses there that he talks about, he says, your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, that is what causes that separation. That's what causes the disconnect there. It's not that God don't love us. No, he's willing to forgive. He has a cure for it. But we have to take and be willing to take and to turn that completely over to him. I believe that there are people that even, they're saved. Maybe they sit in a church service week after week. Maybe they're even involved in the work of the Lord. But yet they have this cancer that dwells within them. And that's what leprosy does. It eats from the inside out, just like sin does. You know, it's that's below the surface, but guess what? It will show up. And where does it show up at? It shows up in the flesh. And it affects the flesh, and it's the flesh that takes and gets the best of us each and every time. But it's important that we realize that we don't have to go down that road. We don't have to allow that to happen, that God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us, and that we can live that victorious life. And by the way, like I said, this can happen to anybody sitting in a pew week after week after week. There's a, I think it's James Dobson or one of them guys, one of them radio type preachers, that tells a story of a young preacher that he knew. His name was Steve, Brother Steve, and he was just a young upcoming preacher and started preaching in some different places and so forth. And he actually had opportunity to go to Denver, Colorado, and he went there and he was preaching this little church and was going to preach a few night revival. People got saved, and I mean, it just, revival broke out, and they ended up moving, extending the meeting, but they also moved it somewhere else because the church just didn't fit the order anymore, and people began to invite their friends and family. So there was a little community center that was larger than the church, and so they moved into it, and then they packed it out. So then they ended up moving downtown to Denver to a huge coliseum, a civic center there. And the meetings went on and on. Well, this preacher was just excited about what God had done. But after all these weeks, I mean, he was tired and he was weary, and he was, of course, away from his family. So after the meetings was over, he's on his way, going to drive home. So he's leaving out of town that particular night, and all of a sudden he hears a siren. He looks in his rearview mirror and there's the blue lights, and so he pulls over the side of the road. He knows immediately what he's done. He knows he was speeding. So the policeman comes up to the window. He already has the driver's license ready, and he hands the policeman the driver's license, and he said, "Officer," he said, "I know what I've done." He said, "I know I was speeding." He said, "If you'll just go ahead and give me my ticket, I'll be on my way." He said, "Is that right?" He said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because I know." He said, "I looked down when I seen the blue light." He said, "I know I was speeding. I'm just tired. I've been out of town for a week. I want to get home. I want to see my family." And so the policeman, because of his attitude that he had, he asked him, he said, "Sir, can you step out of the car?" So he steps out of the car and he's continuing to mumble, and he said, "Listen, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't, other than speeding. If you just write me my ticket, I'll be on my way." The policeman says, "Sir," he said, "can you place your hands on top of the car?" So he puts his hands on top of the car, and the whole time he's saying, "Listen, I don't have an expired tag. I have a registration for this vehicle. I have insurance on this vehicle. I haven't been drinking. I haven't done anything wrong." He says, "All I was doing is speeding." He says, "I'm telling you," he says, "I'm admitting that I was speeding. Why don't you just write me my ticket? I'll be on my way." The policeman says, "Sir, can you turn around and look at me a moment?" He turned around and looked at him, and he looked at him eyeball to eyeball. Policeman said, "Sir," he said, "I used to have an attitude just like you." He said, "I was mad at the world." He says, "I had my own agenda and my own thing going on. It's disrespectful. I used to have an attitude just like you." He said, "But I don't have that attitude anymore." He said, "You see," he said, "just a few weeks ago," he said, "I was invited to go to a church service, to a meeting in downtown Denver." He said, "And the preacher preached that night a tremendous sermon." He said, "And I was convicted in my heart," he said, "and I gave my heart to Christ." He said, "And the Lord took all that away and took all that bitterness and all that away." That preacher hung his head down. He said, "Officer," he said, "I'm ashamed. I'm so ashamed." He said, "I'm the one that led you to Christ." You know, as I heard that story the other day, I couldn't help but think about it. We live in a real world where there's real people. What kind of testimony do we have? I know people have a bad day sometimes. I know people, but what are we showing forth? Are we showing forth Christ? That leprosy that's inside, that leprosy, it can come out in an attitude. It can come out in bitterness. It can come out, and it'll show up on the flesh. And all of a sudden, or you can hide it for a while, but all of a sudden, one day, it'll be obvious. And if we don't deal with it, and if we don't get the antibiotics that's available from God, what'll happen? It'll eat at us, and it'll eat at us, and it'll eat at us, and it will affect us to the point that it will affect our Christian, it'll affect our testimony. So what do we need to do? We have to deal with it. We've got to get to the one that can make a difference, just like these 10 lepers did. And he told them to go, and they went, and as they went, they were healed. Just that quickly. What is it that God wants you to do? Is the problem in our life today a lack of obedience? It's a lack of taking, and we know what God wants us to do, but we have not taken that step, and we've not acted upon it. Well, it's time to get busy and do what thus saith the Lord in our lives. And that is the ones that God will always, always bless. Number two, we can learn from their plea. Look at what they said. There was in verse number 13, there was a plea for help. There was a plea for healing. They were crying out, but by faith they were trusting that he could take and could heal them. In verse number 13 it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" They trusted him enough to know that he was the one that had that he could take it, he could heal them. He was. Let me ask you something this morning. What are you seeking? Where are you going to for your? You know, there's people today that they get on the phone and they call their psychic hotline. They look to all types of other things in this life and in this world. And then as a last resort, they go to Jesus. As a last resort, when the thing seems like, you know, the old saying, the old bumper sticker or whatever you want to call it, that always said, when all else fails, seek God. That sounds good and that sounds spiritual and that sounds, but I don't agree with it. I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say when all else fails, seek God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. You know, but we want to take and we want to go to Him last, and then we wonder why He don't jump when we speak. What's amazing, though, is how that when we do treat Him that way, He still blesses. He still loves us. Even when we try everything else and all else fails. I wonder what would happen if we started going to Him first. I wonder what would happen if we just started trusting Him right off the bat and everything else instead of going to everything else in this life. And then when it failed, no, the truth of the matter is, put Him number one in our life. But they had a plea for help. They realized that He was the answer. They realized that He was the only one that could take and help them, that He was the only one that could heal. You may be here this morning and you need healing in your family. Your marriage needs healing. You know, whatever it may be, your job situation, your finances, your children, what, you know, the list could be as long as an arm today of different various problems and needs right here in this service. But the answer is the same thing. It's the Lord. It's Jesus. It's getting back to Him in our life, and He's the one that we need to cry out to just like they done. And they said, have mercy upon us. And by faith, and through not just saying it, notice it was when they done something. It was when, you know, how many other times in the Bible do we see the same thing happen? Remember the blind man in John chapter number 9? He was blind from his birth. And remember, they brought him to Jesus and they said, hey, you know, Lord, here's this guy. He's been blind all his life. Somebody must have sinned. Either he's a wicked person or his parents sinned. And I mean, there's just a curse on him. Jesus said, no. He said, the reason he's blind is so I can cure him, I can heal him. In Bible terms, he said, so that the works of God can be made manifest in him. Sometimes that's the only reason why we go through some of the things we go through, is just so we'll cry out to Him and He can fix it. And then He can get the glory from it. But that's what happened in that story. And what did Jesus tell him? He took and he didn't touch him and say, be thou healed. And all of a sudden he could see. He didn't wave a magic wand. He didn't pray some special prayer over him. He didn't do it. You know what he done? He spit on the ground and mixed it up and made some mud and put it on his eyes. He said, okay, go down there and wash. And he went down there and washed. Came back. He had 20/20 vision. Now, why did Jesus do it that way? It's kind of odd, wasn't it? He could have just spoke the word and the man would have been healed. I believe it's a picture of obedience. Obedience. You say, but isn't faith enough and just what we need? You're right. But obedience is the fruit of faith. You know, if you really have faith, guess what? There's going to be some legs on it if it's real true faith. James put it well, didn't he? He said, you show me your faith. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. You won't have to doubt whether I've got faith. You'll be able to see it. You know, you can walk around all you want to and say, oh yeah, I've got faith in God and I just believe. Now, you can say that all you want to. But the truth of the matter is, until somebody sees it, and it should be seen, and it can be seen, and There's, and that's just another one of many, many illustrations of that, of how that obedience is what always gets the job done. That's what gets God's attention. So, what about it today? Are you one of those ones, you just sitting around and, yeah, well, I really love Jesus. We come to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Yeah, I tell you what, I'm just trusting God. I'm depending on the Lord. He's so good. What do we see? We see you sitting there, running your mouth. That's all we see. That's all God sees. It sounds good. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You got relatives like that, don't you? You got people you work with. You go down there to work and they talk about, we got faith, trusting God. They ain't been to church in 6 months. They don't know where the Bible is. They ain't passed out a tract. They got this wonderful faith. You say, well, isn't faith on the inside? How do you know they don't have faith? You'll see it. If you don't see it, it ain't there. It ain't there. A lot of talk and very little walk. What are we doing for God? What are we doing? I think words like faith, words like love, is thrown around way too often and way out of context. I sure love the Lord. Yeah, I love God. You do? I believe you, but what are you doing? Shouldn't that love be? Well, I just love him. Okay. Shouldn't we be seeing something? I'll just tell you what Jesus says. The book of John, what did he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. These people, yeah, boy, I love the Lord. And they live like the devil. It ain't so. You can say it all you want to. I can say all I want to. But until the proof is there in the action, a lot of talk. But if there ain't no walk, it ain't happening. And these people, when he told them, all 10 of them, go, and they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. Obedience. They didn't stand there and say, well, there's got to be more to it than that. You know, I don't understand. Can't you just say something or do something here and we'd be healed? No. They didn't question it. They didn't. Just like the Old Testament. This same principle is from one end of the Bible to the other. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 5? Remember the man named Nahum? A mighty man of valor. Prestige. Military leader. General. Well-liked. Popular. But verse number 1, the last little phrase in that, after it gives all them wonderful accolades and explaining how great a man he was, the last little phrase says, but he was a leper. He's trying to figure out how he's going to get rid of this leprosy. Remember? Remember they sent the talents of silver to the king and they thought, and they tried this and they tried that and they tried everything else in the world. And finally, Elisha, the man of God, said, okay, that's what you need to do. You need to go down there and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Just dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be okay. Even then he said, wait a minute, the old nasty Jordan River? How about the rivers of Damascus and Pharpar? Aren't they? They're much cleaner. Why can't I just go wash in them? And why couldn't? Why couldn't he? Why did he have to go wash in the specific Jordan River? Why 7 times? Why not 1 time? Why not 5? Why 7 times? I'll tell you why. Because it was obedience. We don't always understand why God wants us to do things that He wants us to do. I don't understand some of the ways that God does it. But according to the book of Isaiah, His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. So what are we supposed to do? Well, one man said, when you don't understand, you just stand under. You know, when we don't have it all figured out, and we want, instead of questioning God, what do we need to do? We just need to say, yes, sir, reporting to duty, what'll I do next? And guess what? Those are going to be happy, joyful people. Those are the kind of people that God is going to bless, because he always, and there again, I mean, we could get into a ton of stories in the Bible, how that it's obedience, obedience, obedience is what God always, always blesses. Book of Malachi tells about giving. Talks about, he says, will a man rob God? He said, you robbed me? Wait a minute now, how we rob thee? In tithes and offerings. He said, prove me therewith, otherwise try me. God's saying, try, give me opportunity. I'll show you. I'll prove myself to you. He says, give and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and bestow blessings upon you that you cannot contain. I'll give you more than you could ever, ever imagine if you will be obedient. Just obedient. This thing goes into every area of our life. In following Christ, when it comes to center line, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to whatever, obedience, whatever God tells us, that's what we need to do, and that's what God's going to bless. Let's move on along. We'll go to this last one. I say also the last thing, we learn from his knees. The one guy, the one individual, we find that there in verse number 15, it says, and one of them, otherwise only 10%, came back. It says, and when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet. There, what did he do? I'm talking about he went to his knees, and we can learn something from this guy that knelt. It says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. Now, personally, I believe that out of the 10, he was the only one, because it was where he was passing through, remember, through the mist in verse number 11 of Samaria and Galilee. So could it be that there was 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan? And the poor Samaritan is the only one that turned back and glorified God and said, I just thank you for what you've done in my life. In verse 17, and Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory save this stranger. I believe that he was, the others were not Samaritan. He were, because he refers to him as stranger. Verse 19, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You say, wait a minute, it was his faith that made him whole. I thought you said it was obedience. Yeah, but how did anybody know he had faith? Because he obeyed. He put legs on it. You could see it. He done what he was told. But then he turned around and he said, thank you. How many of us do that? How many of us take, and I know it's the week of Thanksgiving, so that's therefore what we're thinking about this week, but how many of us take and we do that year round, and we're constantly thanking God? Or are we just more interested in what's going wrong in our life? And sure, we should pray for the sick, and we should pray for people to be saved, and we should pray for our families, and we should pray for all these different things. But how many of us spend time just thanking? You ever go to the Lord in prayer and just praise Him a little while? Just thank Him for what He has done in your life? I think that's what we... By the way, I believe He'd be more apt to answer in those other situations. And you've heard me talk about this a ton of times, but I believe it fits right here. The Lord's model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. It's all praise, it's all praise, it's all giving glory. You say, well, we're not supposed to ask. We're not supposed to... Doesn't He want us to bring our prayers and petitions to Him? Yeah, just one little phrase in the middle of the prayer. Oh, by the way, give us this day our daily bread. And that's it. The rest of it's thanking, thanking, glory, praise, praise, praise. All the way through. And I believe that that's an example of the way that we ought to do it today. But how many people do that? Probably about 10%. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just guessing. That's what it was in this story. Only one out of the 10 turned back. Said, thank you, Jesus. The others, now how many got healed? All 10 of them. Says that as they went, they were cleansed. But when they got cleansed, they just kept on going. Look at that, my leprosy's gone. Wow, skin is clean as it can be. Oh well, get back to my life now. Go back to whatever I was doing. How many of us do the exact same thing? We pray and we pray and we say, Lord, have mercy on me. And we got our wish list that we go to God with. And then when He answers and He blesses, and then boom, we're on our way again. There we go again. It may not be leprosy, but it's something. And then all of a sudden, when God answers, we forget who God was. You know, I know that I talk about this from time to time, but it's so true that people just use God. And God bails them out. And then they forget who God was. I don't know how many times in almost 23 years we've been here, and I've seen people just out of nowhere, they just come and they're here in church, and they come to me and they talk and they say, you know what, I just love the Lord, but I want you to pray for me. I got this whatever. This court date coming up. And it ain't looking good. And I just need God to work. I need God to bless. And they sit here service after service after service. And they're faithful. And the court date comes and God answers their prayer. And haven't seen them since. Just like the story. Just like the story. I don't know how many times down through the years I can remember. I remember a man came here, came to this church one time. Came in, said I enjoyed the service. I had met him before once or twice. Gave the invitation. He came and knelt right there. I went over, and when I came down, prayed with him. Found out if he was saved. Went and visited him. Went and visited him in his home that week. Didn't know this at the altar. Found out that he had cancer. And he says, I just need to get in church. I just won't take it. I got a doctor's appointment though this week. Found out he had a doctor's appointment that week. Went to the doctor, come to find out it was misdiagnosed. He really didn't. Guess what? He never seen that man again. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, how do you think God must feel? How do you think God must feel when we treat Him now? What's amazing, He still loves us. He still loves us. Hey, let's be like this one guy. It's time to turn, not just at Thanksgiving, it's time to go turn back and say, just glorify. Just praise Him a little while. We can learn from this guy taking Him and being on his knees. I say that there in verse 15 and 18, he returned. I also say around verse number 16, he showed reverence to Him and the respect and honored the Lord. But thank God, not only that, but we see that, hey, he rejoiced. He glorified God. The word hallelujah is actually a combination of two Hebrew words. The word hallow and the word which means to brag. And then the word jah, J-A-H, which just is a shortened word for the word, just a syllable for the word God. So actually the hallelujah means to brag on God. Well, I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's exactly what we need to do. Whether it's Thanksgiving or not, we need to give honor and glory to Him because He's been so good to us. He's blessed us in so many ways. We need to We need to give him the glory. Verse 16, he gave thanks. In verse 18, he gave glory. What are we doing? What are we doing? Or are we just allowing that within us to just continue to eat at us until it shows? That bitterness, it'll show up. It'll come out. It'll be visible, just like that leprosy. It will be visible. And so if we don't deal with it, if we don't go to him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And then I say, let's thank him. Are we doing that? Are you spending time with God? Are you thanking him for saving you? You know, we all deserve hell at best, but because of what he done on the cross for us, we have a wonderful home in heaven. That's something to be thankful. You may be here and you're not saved, and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. Hey, why don't you come right now? Why don't you come this morning as we give this invitation in just a moment and give your heart to Christ, and we'll pray with you and help you today. But you can leave here today knowing that heaven is your home. And then you'll want to come back just like this man did and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. Well, let's all stand all over this morning. Father God, we sure are grateful, Lord, for your word. We pray now, Lord, you'd bless as we looked at these three simple lessons from a leper. Three things that we can learn. And Lord, I pray that we'd leave here this morning just a little bit more educated on the subject and realizing that it can affect us too. Maybe not the literal disease of leprosy, but Lord, the sin, the flesh, that can get the best of us and eat at us and take over more and more and more each and every day. Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified now through somebody this morning making a decision for you. Somebody today maybe just needs to come and turn back and return like this leper did. And maybe just spend a moment thanking you. God, I pray now that you'd bless on this invitation this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Their heads bowed.